Geek news, reviews, commentary. Not just another podcast.
Out of the ordinary paintball broadcast.
Only available to members of Hyperspace. Now here comes your host, Kyle Abear of the world,
Steve. Episode 26 of the Big Ball Broadcast. My name is Kyle Abear. I'm a voice actor currently based in L.A., and you can hear me on Cartoon Network on Naruto as the voice of Kiba.
And this is your co-host, Otherworld Steve. I'm an anime journalist with Beckett Anime and Manga Magazine. I'm the webmaster of KyleAbear.com. And this Tuesday, you can hear me on Burst Angel Volume 6 by Funimation.
That's too cool.
Too cool for school.
So in what capacity are we going to hear Otherworld Steve?
You can hear me in two brief cameos in episode 21. You can hear me as a psycho. No real dialogue, just a bunch of mouth noise. And I'm on screen very brief. I end up with a bullet in my head. That's not good. And then later in the episode, you can hear me as a dispatcher.
Well, you see, usually with bit parts, it always ends bad. People die a lot in bit parts.
Well, thinking more so about how, although I don't have a lot of voice acting experience, I'm already typecast in the dispatcher role, you know? If you recall what I did with Kitty Grade, with the flight controller, it's all these not-seen, ominous voice that just appears from out of nowhere.
You may have a new calling in life.
You know, it's funny. I might just end up being a dispatcher one day, like, for real. Can I put that on my resume as experience?
Yeah, sure, why not? I don't think they check anymore. 2 weeks ago, we got one email. Then the week after, we got two emails. This week, get ready, we've got two emails and an MP3 comment to play.
Holy crap!
I think we're growing. We're getting bigger.
We might outgrow our garanimals.
Oh, man, that's kind of sick, isn't it?
In a sick kind of way.
Absolutely. Let's start with an email from Chris. He says, "Hey, Kyle and Steve, I've been listening to the BBB since episode 4, and you guys can still inform me with tons of geek info. Thanks. I just watched the video of Steve's Dragon's Lair cabinet, and it looks awesome. But the chair in front of the cabinet looks mighty uncomfortable. How do you play for so long without back problems? Keep up the good work, fellow Bostonian Chris."
This is kind of a funny question. The reason why there are stools in front of the cabinet really had nothing to do with back problems. It originated because of foot problems. For those of you who aren't in the know, I built it in my basement, which has concrete floors, and I haven't put any type of like carpeting or anything in front of the cabinet. So after standing there for like probably under a half an hour, wow, your feet hurt. And they turn like bright red. It's very painful. My loving wife went out and bought a couple bar-type stools to put in front of the cabinet. I can deal with the back issue a lot better than I can deal with the foot issue.
Oh, man. We need to see, like, the final product. You need to shoot some new video or something.
I will, but that will probably be a little while because today I had to take apart the marquee to send the marquee to Don Bluth and Gary Goldman to get it signed. So when that comes back all nice and signed, then I'll shoot some new video.
Oh, fair enough. Our next email comes from Tim Stewart. He says, "Hey guys, how's it going? I came across your podcast through Kyle's website and downloaded one of the episodes, and I was instantly hooked. I've been listening for the last 5 weeks now, and the show just gets better and better. I always thought I was in the loop when it came to geeky stuff, but after listening to your show for a while, I realized there are a lot of things going on that I was completely unaware of, so thanks for all the great info. It's great to hear that Funimation's going to start releasing anime to select theaters, even if they're only start showing in the theaters you'd never want to go to for fear of sitting in seats covered with urine or having rats run across your feet. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I love the show, and I wish you both the best, sincerely." Thank you very much, Tim. And yeah, I am hoping that Funimation does book some nice theaters.
I was a little distracted. I had this vision of urine-soaked rats for some reason.
Wow, that sounds like a punk band.
Hey, you never know. I come from a punk background.
Let's move on to Mark in Philadelphia. He sent us an audio comment.
"Hey, Steve. Hey, Kyle. Just giving you that feedback you so desperately asked for per episode. Been listening to the Big Ball Broadcast since about episode 20, and it's getting better with each episode that I listen to. Hope you guys can keep it up. And oh yeah, one more thing.
Yo, Steve, your move, bitch!"
Sounds like he got some on his shoe at the end there.
It was a little chunky, wasn't it?
I mean, talk about lung cookies. That was pretty gross. that was so weak.
Oh, man. You got to work on that. Are you drinking a beer tonight?
I will. Actually, no. I'm drinking Burger King Coca-Cola. I guess it just isn't carbonated enough.
It's not just Coca-Cola. It's Burger King Coca-Cola. It's
Burger King Coca-Cola.
Ew. We got a show to get on with, so we're getting on with the show. MySpace launches cell phone service. And if you haven't heard of MySpace, you must be living under a rock. And if you're living under a rock, I'd like to know, is it cheaper than living in L.A.? No, seriously. MySpace is the big social networking website. It's extremely popular right now, especially with teens and the college-age crowd and bands especially. They're expanding to create a cell phone service and actually offer a couple model phones based on some Korean models. They're called the Hero and the Kickflip, and they're going to have large screens and cameras, but no keyboards. Boo! And no specific date launch other than coming soon. And it's going to be able to let you post to your MySpace page for free. So other than paying your monthly service charge for the cell phone service, it's kind of a nice thing there.
I have an issue with MySpace. I kind of have an issue with blogging in general, you know, because, I don't know, I mean, the stuff you put up on your blog, that's for the world to see. I mean, that's for billions of people, and I think that sometimes people get a little carried away. They forget that what they're typing is, you know, for the world to see. I think some people just need to reel it in a little bit. You know, we're going to be talking about something a little bit that kind of goes along with this, about internet addiction. Again, some people just put way too much out there. Maybe I'm old and crotchety, and I just have, like, this gripe with society. I don't know. I really can't explain.
Well, I mean, there is the whole controversy with MySpace because it's inviting a lot of online predators. There's been people murdered that have started corresponding on MySpace, and it's starting to give the site kind of a bad rap.
I read that, I believe, last week, where, like, the second episode's happened in almost as many months where somebody's met somebody through MySpace and then they end up dead. You know, it's kind of disturbing, but I guess it's really no different than meeting somebody through some other means online. I don't think it's an issue that's specific to MySpace. I mean, I think, you know, LiveJournal and even using services like AOL Instant Messenger, you know, you got to just be really careful. I wouldn't ever meet somebody that I met online in person unless I knew, you know, who this person was and what their motives were. I wouldn't just for the hell of it go, oh, gee, she sounds cute, I'm going to go meet her. And then you end up meeting this, 45-year-old fat balding dude with a chainsaw.
Or a fed who's just trying to bust people.
That is also possible, yes. But, you know, it's kind of this weird give-and-take trade-off because I'm a big privacy advocate and I don't want Big Brother watching every move that I make. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure people who are using these services want a certain degree of protection, or at least to know the person they're talking to is the person they're claiming to be. So it's a really weird fine line. And in the end, you really can't hold a place like MySpace responsible for that.
No, they just kind of become a media scapegoat just due to the prominence of it, the popularity of it. And you're right. It would happen on LiveJournal. It would happen on Instant Messenger. All this stuff happens all the time. It's just MySpace happens to get the attention now because it is so popular. And then, like, where do you meet him? Oh, yeah, MySpace. Oh, gosh, must be a bad site then. Anyone who does blogging, I would think you have enough self-control to not post too personal a detail and put it out. And if you do, then you are asking for trouble. I put myself out there, and yes, Steve has kind of taken me to task with it before. It's like, dude, do you really need a video blog and a live journal and a podcast and a website and all this? It's like, aren't you spreading yourself too thin? And it's like, well, we just look at things a little differently. I still am in control of what I put out there. And what I choose to put out there is a conscious decision that I make. I mean, I feel I'm mature enough to do that. Now, it is a very popular site with kids and teens, and of course, they're not mature enough to know.
I think the media gets off on it, too, because anytime something like that happens, and the one I recall the most is the guy who killed his girlfriend's parents in Pennsylvania not too long ago, the media flocks to, like, MySpace right away. As soon as they find out that they were posting on MySpace, then you start seeing all the quotes from their journal showing up in, like, the New York Times and on Fox News and stuff. So it's kind of this really sick depravity where I don't think that the news media wants MySpace to start stepping in and start monitoring activities, because then they wouldn't have fodder for their news, you know?
That's better. That's better. We're already improving.
We're getting there. I'm warming up.
Okay, so this kind of goes into the next discussion, which I wanted to talk about this week. It's not really about news, but just in general. Can you consider the internet an addiction? Steve and I do spend a lot of time in front of our computer, and, you know, you blink, and then suddenly 6 hours has passed by. Depending on what you do online, I mean, you may have a job that is related to sitting in front of your computer for many hours online. But we're talking about, like, just surfing the net or chatting or whatnot. Is it truly, deep down, an addiction, or is it just an evolution of society?
I'm on the fence on this one as well, because I can see both sides of the argument. I can say yes. It's a state of our society today. I mean, would you consider yourself addicted to automobiles? You know, would you consider yourself addicted to microwaves? It's technology that's being used in our society, and for a lot of people, it's their gateway to the world. I would much rather catch somebody on AIM or on Skype than have to pay to call somebody long distance, like you in particular, you know?
Right.
We wouldn't be having, you know, really long conversations if I was paying from my house phone for it.
Right.
I can also admit, too, that, yeah, you know, what you said, you can hop online just to do a little bit of surfing, and the next thing you realize, 6 hours have passed. That could be a problem. Have I shirked responsibilities because I'm online goofing around? Oh, yeah, definitely. Most definitely. But in my defense, I can say, if I wasn't wasting my time online, I would probably be wasting my time with video games. So it brings up the question, too, you know, are you addicted to video games? Yeah, the internet's been around for, like, 11 years. I still think it's a little too early on to make that kind of distinction. Because now you have kids who are growing up in the internet age. Let's talk to them 10 years from now and see what their lives are like because of the internet.
Now, I will freely admit I have an addictive personality. I glomp onto things pretty fast, and I consider myself addicted to the net. I don't necessarily think that as a total negative. If I have something that's catching my attention or needing my attention, I can do that thing. If I have a place to be, if I have appointments to make, I have auditions to do, I'm not shirking responsibility. I can easily say that, yeah, with a lot of downtime, being a out-of-work actor, you have a lot of time on your hands. And what do? I do sit in front of the computer, and I chat for hours on end.
What I've been trying to do recently is at least read educational material. I've been really trying to focus on that. You know, when I'm online, I'm trying to look up a lot of nonfiction. I read a lot of news. Read a lot of, like, really interesting things. I've been really getting off lately on, like, myths exposed and, like, urban legends and stuff and, you know, people exposing them for what they are. And, of course, a lot of the government conspiracies. But, yeah, it is a time suck. It's a huge time suck. And I could probably be doing a lot more productive things with my life than sitting in my chair surfing the web.
Yeah, I've got the ultimate bachelor pad here going. I've got no decorations on the wall. I have boxes and boxes of all my crap still sitting here from the time I moved. It's kind of pathetic, really. It's an addiction that has taken hold of me, but I don't think it's that bad.
It's a window to the world, and it's very interesting.
It is a portal for news and information, as well as entertainment. And all of those things used to be separate before, but now with this technology, yeah, everything is intertwined. So it's easy to argue that this is just the day and age that we're in. And, you know, get over it.
My sentiments exactly.
So if you have any thoughts on this subject, we want to hear you. So give our listener comment line a call at 818-574-3607. That's 818-574-3607. Or shoot us an email at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com.
Australia's Spam Man wins Golden Olympics. The Spam Man is now Australia's third gold medal winner at the Winter Olympics. Dale Begg-Smith, a freestyle skier and internet innovator, won the gold in mogul skiing at the Winter Olympics in Turin, Italy. It wasn't his first contact with signs of wealth. Begg-Smith, a 20-year-old native of Vancouver, British Columbia, who now lives primarily in Melbourne, is the founder of a web pop-up ad company worth $40 million, according to estimates by Herald Sun and other Australian newspapers. The official website of the Olympics says he drives a $300,000 Lamborghini. Begg-Smith refuses to discuss details of the company at his post-race news conference, and he says the stories of his fortune were exaggerated.
I'm surprised he went public with that. People hate spammers.
They do, and I, you know, that's the exclamation point on the irony to this story, that this guy is amassing a fortune due to spamming, yet he's, you know, a national hero in Australia because he won the Golden Mogul skiing. Just a kind of weird double lifestyle this dude's living there.
Yeah, well, let's give him the award and just kind of have him run right into the jail cell and serve some time for making our lives hell.
I had read somewhere recently that a spammer just got nailed to, like, a huge jail time.
Multiple life sentences?
yeah, like 375 years or something. It's kind of funny to, you know, have the Olympic gold and then go back to your sleazy career making $40 million spamming people.
Filling their inbox with pointless crap, scamming them out of their money.
Yeah, so I guess in a sense you can say that spamming funded his gold.
I think it'd be more interesting if it were literally spam, you know, the mystery meat.
If UPS showed up at my door with a box full of spam, I'd probably be more accepting. I would probably drop my spam. What's for dinner? Spam burgers.
Delicious. Anyhoozle, this is the Big Ball Broadcast, and still to come, we got more geeky news that you can use. Advent Children, yes, it is finally coming out. We'll tell you when next.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, this week's Big Ball Broadcast is shorter than usual. If you're dying to fill more time, feel free to download a previous episode of our blog page at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Otherwise, things should be back to normal next week. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 26 with Kyle Hebert and Otherworld Steve. Final Fantasy Advent Children, finally coming out in the U.S. Yes, there's a two-disc special edition DVD officially coming out on April 25th. And yeah, I'll believe it when I see it because the dates keep changing and all that. But it's been announced officially for DVD and UMD for the Sony PSP. And people want to know, if you're interested, here's some dub info for you. Who's going to play Cloud Strife? We got Steve Burton. Some movie stars actually are on this. Mina Savari, you remember her from American Beauty. She plays Aerith. We've got Rachel Lee Cook as Tifa Lockhart. Some voice actor favorites, Crispin Freeman as Rude. Dave Wittenberg as Yazoo. Steve Bloom as Vincent Valentine. Bo Billingsley as Barrett Wallace. Christy Romano from Kim Possible doing Yuffie Kisaragi. And Sephiroth, George Newbern.
I recall a press release from last week that said that the European DVD release is scheduled for some point in March. So it sounds pretty good to me. Sounds pretty believable.
Yeah, if they're going to go ahead and announce other regions, then that kind of makes me feel that, okay, maybe they actually are cranking these out in production.
I'm looking forward to it, mainly because of the absolutely gorgeous visuals. I'm not a big Final Fantasy fan. I don't play the games, although I do have Final Fantasy X, and I haven't popped that in yet. I'm a little behind the times.
Final Fantasy X is the only one I have. I played it a little bit, and I liked it, but I'm really not into RPGs. I like instant gratification. I want to race, I want to shoot, jump, whatever. Instantly.
I'll admit, the only reason I have Final Fantasy X is because a few years ago I had the opportunity to meet James Arnold Taylor, who voices Titus, mm-hmm. or Titus. I bought it just for him to sign it.
Well, there you go.
But at some point, I'll probably pop it in, just because, you know, I know it's a really popular franchise. But back to the flick, it looks gorgeous. And to have something that actually ties in with the Final Fantasy universe as compared to The Spirits Within, which did look gorgeous, but in the end, God, was that a crap movie.
They just should not have called it Final Fantasy.
No, I mean, that could have really killed the franchise. It took them 4 years to make that movie. It cost an ungodly amount of money to make. And in the end, I think it just left a lot of people scratching their heads. So I think, you know, Final Fantasy peeps over at Square Enix had to, like, reel it in a little bit and go, okay, if we're going to do another one, we're going to make it look 10 times better and have it actually do something with the storyline.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that on the Dubcast, Steve Bloom, you know, my good buddy who's really helped open doors for me in L.A., voicing Vincent Valentine. I wonder if he's also voicing that character for the new first-person shooter Final Fantasy game, Dirge of Cerberus, which I believe is coming out in just a few months.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe I should call him and say, hey, Steve, are you doing it or not?
Maybe you should. Maybe you should do that live on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll really appreciate that.
Yeah, as you and I have been discussing for many, many weeks on end, the iPod's incredibly popular, although I do not own one. So, I mean, what's the first thing you're going to do when you buy an iPod? You're either going to go home and download music illegally and put it on your iPod, or you're going to do what you assume is the legal thing, and you're going to rip your CDs and put that music on your iPod. Well, it seems the RIAA says ripping CDs to your iPod is not fair use. And as part of an ongoing DMCA rulemaking proceeding, the RIAA, another Copyright Industry Association members, submitted a filing that includes that this new arrangement, and that space shifting and file shifting do not count as non-infringing uses, even when you are talking about making copies of your own CD. So essentially, if the RIAA suspects that you're ripping CDs and putting them on your iPod or can provide any proof to that, you can be found criminally liable.
What a load of crap.
You know, and it goes back to, like, the Blu-ray argument. where if they do end up deciding to release Blu-ray audio later on, that with the new protection software they're going to put on there, that you're going to essentially have to buy each copy for each format you're going to use it in. Like, if you can listen to it in your house, you have to buy a disc for that. If you can listen to it in your car, you're going to have to buy another disc just to listen to in your car. It's such a load of crap. If I buy a disc, I would think I could put it on my computer, I could put it in my iPod, I can bring it in my car. You know, there was a law a long time ago that said you had the right to make one legal backup, but now the RIAA is saying, get caught backing it up, and you can go to jail.
Yeah, I'm not digging that too much. You know, the whole entertainment industry wants to make its money, but they don't want you to be able to enjoy what you've purchased, you know, once you have that in your own private home.
And it isn't really about copyright infringement or anything. It's all about the almighty dollar.
Yeah, it's like, you guys haven't already made enough money by us purchasing the CD or the DVD or whatever?
Well, you know, the RIAA and the MPAA, both organizations run by the dinosaur people who just are pretty clueless about how modern society is functioning. There's a lot of arguments against what the RIAA is doing. There are bands that have increased CD sales dramatically because music is available online. There's bands that I've heard that I wouldn't have normally heard, and then I've gone out and purchased the CD because I've heard some music online. And the bottom line is, it's great exposure for bands to have music available when there's billions of people using the internet.
Going back to the earlier story about MySpace, I've discovered a lot of bands that way, and bands will, you know, have streaming audio clips of their entire album for you to listen to, and that's great. It's a try-it-before-you-buy-it scheme. I love that.
I've been talking about this stuff for a while. Call me paranoid, but it's like, you can't even, like, wipe your ass without getting a summons to go to court because you didn't hold the paper properly or something, you know?
This toilet paper is copyrighted.
I mean, they're not giving CDs away, you know? CDs are still around, like, the $13 range. You know, you're paying decent money for decent music. Once I purchase it, you know, God forbid you tell me what I have to do with it or how I can listen to it. You know, pretty soon, what are they going to do? Tell you, oh, you can listen to it 10 times, then you got to go buy another copy?
You know, if there's someone of the RIAA listening to this show, I think you just inspired them.
They might say, well, you know, fair use. Fair use is you paid for this performance X number of times.
That's really, really lame. Yeah, dude, I am a firm believer that, you know, once you buy it, it's your property to do with as you please. All right? You've made the company money. You've made the band's money by purchasing that product. It's already marked up 8,000% beyond what it's actually worth.
And it's not like they're giving the artist any money either, you know? And I pretty much know that firsthand from people that I know that are professional musicians on major record labels. I know guys who are in bands that tour the world and still have to hold on a 40-an-hour-a-week job just to pay their bills. So the RIAA certainly isn't doing it to look out for the artist's interest.
Another corrupt organization. Big shock!
Ah, yeah, exactly.
Who'd have thunk?
Hey there, it's Kyle, and I'm just here to interrupt the podcast to announce that this is actually the end.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
We had some technical difficulties, and this is as much as we could record the other night, and in other words, Steve fell ill. So let's all send our best wishes and positive vibes to Otherworld Steve so he can get better and we can give you a really cool show next week. So sorry for the shortened length, but maybe some people are going, yay, it's finally short. But we like it long. Insert joke here. Anyway, that's the dealio. Thanks for downloading the show. We'll be back with a full episode next week.
Visit our official blog page at bigbaldbroadcast.blogspot.com. Donations are graciously accepted and appreciated. Please email us at thebigbaldbroadcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a voicemail on our listener line at 818-574-3607. Additional announcements by Maria Vu. Remember to stay geeky.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, as always, this stuff in lieu of actual entertainment. Yeah!